It's a big world out there, becoming more and more technically oriented every day. We all need help understanding and knowing how to work with ever-evolving computers, cell phones, and electronic devices. Stay tuned and you'll find out from local experts as KAZM presents Tech Talk. And now, here's your host, Mike Tabak, with Tech Talk.
Welcome into the program. Tom Tabak here, and with me is Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography.
Yo, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm somewhere beyond fabulous, approaching splendiferous. It's looking good.
Hey, when you feel so good, you have to make words up. That's sad.
It's not, no, it's beyond, you know, if you, it's not actually making up a word. I found out that it actually is a word. I thought I had made it up, and then I found it on
splendiferous.
Splendiferous is a
word.
That's
a way made for a Disney movie, right?
Okay.
Was it?
Whatever.
Was that in like, was it the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins?
No, that's that supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Yeah, right. But we digress already.
Yeah, huh? And that was not a word at the time, but now it's in the dictionary.
Yep.
You know, folks, if you look up splendiferous, you're going to see a picture of Bob Coates.
That'll work.
Okay, what are we going to talk about today?
I've been traveling a lot, teaching around the country, and then I've got some camera news and always my art.
All right, let's come back, folks, and get into it with Bob Coates. Be right back. Welcome back. As we're talking to Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. Okay, you want to hit your travels first?
Travels, sure. Yeah, I've been on the road teaching, and earlier in the month I was in Maryland and gave a program for a thing called PPA Charities, in which I donated my speaking fee to PPA Charities, and they support things like the Smile Train, where they fix cleft palates.
Oh, cool.
And
yeah.
different charity things. And,
yeah.
And then since I was in Maryland already, I set up to do a full-day program the following day that I actually got paid for. So it was kind of a workout, but I really enjoyed it.
And then you got out of town before the weather got bad.
No, I flew into the weather.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, it was one of those, as we're leaving, so the pilot goes, ladies and gentlemen, we're not sure we're going to get you into BWI, but we'll get you close. I was like, oh, no.
Close.
But everything worked out, and I got to photograph in the snow, which was cool.
Okay.
And then also got to chase some wildlife after the programs were done. I had scheduled an extra day, and we went to the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge.
Okay, cool.
And so
see some things you may not see otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. chasing birds. Yeah. I love my birds.
Yeah.
And then I just came back the other day from Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Little town called Dublin. The professional photographers of Ohio asked me to come in and speak. Did a program for them, showed off some cameras and hung out.
Uh-huh.
One of the reasons that I really enjoy teaching is because I learn so much.
Sure.
I have to have to know your stuff inside out and be able to explain it in three or four different ways, because everybody learns in a different method. Some people learn via, they're visual learners. Some people are audio learners. Some people, you got to show them. So, when I'm sitting there talking like to you, I said, is he getting what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me switch how I'm going to describe this.
Okay. I'll bet you learn a lot, too, from the different questions you get.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's yet one more thing. Sometimes I have to say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you and get the information, which, again, adds to my knowledge base.
Uh-huh.
And then, as far as teaching, I'm going the opposite direction. At the end of the next weekend, I'll be flying to Texas for 6 days of learning for me.
Okay.
I'm going to class.
Interesting.
For it's called Texas School.
You've heard it here, folks. Bob Coates will have class for 6 days.
No, I'll be in class. I believe there's a difference. When you add that preposition, it changes the whole meaning. I'm going in to really get an in-depth run in Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
And, I teach Photoshop.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good at it and have things, but I'm going for that whole next level of graphic arts and design from a guy who is just amazing. And it's going to be supposedly, from what I understand, you have your normal classroom hours, and that's just the beginning. This guy, holds you over, and you'll be there at least half again as long each day. So
that's a lot to take in.
Yes, but it's a full immersion. And if I didn't have the knowledge that I have, I wouldn't take this class. This is really, really an in-depth class, and taking, allowing me to learn to do things that I know of, but how, I don't know how to accomplish yet.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother level of art.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right, so let's talk your cameras then. New cameras.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Panasonic has come out with a couple of new ones since the last time we talked about cameras. There's the GX9. It's kind of built on like a rangefinder body. It's like the old style.
Okay.
And it's a very small profile, really tight camera. Does a real nice job. That would be more for, an advanced amateur.
Uh-huh.
And then they also came out with a flagship camera for stills. Okay, Panasonic has been gearing toward the video market.
Yeah.
And so the GH5, which is the camera that I've been using, takes great stills.
Yeah.
But it was really built for making incredible video.
Okay. Which is how I understood the market was going. In other words, you have a piece of equipment that'll do both.
Right. That's correct. Now, so it does both. Mm-hmm. But what they've done is, excuse me, they have built a new camera. It's called the G9.
Mm-hmm.
And it is built with the stills photographer in mind that also shoots good video.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like a swap. So the body style's a little bit different. It's even more comfortable for hand holding. Buttons have changed their position. They have a new screen on top that stills photographers tend to need that video photographers don't.
Yeah.
And one of the really interesting things is this camera can make, it's a 20 megapixel chip.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this new engine and all this, the math that's built into these cameras now is just, my brain just starts to explode when I think of what goes on there. They have a 20 megapixel chip in there, but you can create an 80 megapixel image.
Okay. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Okay, again, it's the math, and what it does is it takes, for the 80 megapixel image, I believe it takes 12 separate exposures on a single button push.
Okay.
And then it offsets by half a pixel on each of those. So it kind of makes this little pattern.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then mathematically, it, increases the resolution of the file.
Hmm.
And I thought, well, is that really going to be that big a deal?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Interesting.
It's pretty amazing. I did a little photograph of, the rocks and the clouds and stuff, and it was like, oh, man.
Now, okay, to the eye then, what are you seeing? I mean, can you actually discern what the difference is, or do you just see something that's obviously more vivid, or what?
It has, the detail in it is so much greater.
Mm.
And then it gives you the opportunity to do things like stripping out a panoramic from inside it and still have huge resolution. Kind of like we were talking a little bit about video earlier.
Uh-huh.
And with video, if you work on a smaller timeline and you have a file that's 4K versus HD, you can move around within there and still have all the exposure and proper detail that you want. The detail that was in this, I was just, even when I took it down and put it on a Instagram post, people were like, whoa. You can just really almost feel the detail difference. It's that, there's so much more depth and dimension in there.
And for the benefit of the folks who may not have heard us talk about this in the past, Bob mentions Panasonic because Panasonic actually pays Bob to travel around the country and teach people how to use their equipment.
Correct. Yeah. And they also let me, use their cameras and experiment and play and share. And, if anybody around and you're interested, there is no Panasonic dealer. And you're interested in the Lumix cameras? I have, an awful lot of them. And, people sometimes, if you want to give me a call, if you want to drop by and try one out or borrow one for a day or so, you're going to leave your driver's license and your credit card. But if I don't know you, but, oh, wait, they could fake those, couldn't they? Anyway,
I'm really, one of those cameras, actually.
Really, really happy to have people try out the stuff and play with it. And I'm not a salesperson for Panasonic, and I'm what they call we used to be called a Lumix luminary. I'm a Lumix ambassador.
Hmm.
So basically, I get to share my experiences with the camera, and if you like it, that's great. Yeah. If not, one of the last questions that was asked at my program in Ohio, the guy said, well, you know, I'm a Nikon shooter. Why should I switch to Panasonic and Lumix?
Fair question. Yeah.
It was a very fair question. Yeah. And I said, you probably don't need to.
Yeah.
But are you happy with what you have?
Yeah.
Is the weight okay? Do you have all the features that you need? And I basically ended up, and I didn't realize it, but I ran through about, 12 or 13 different reasons that he might want to switch. But I would never say, oh, you should switch.
Yeah.
Because the equipment and the possibilities that are going on these days is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Panasonic seems to be moving ahead faster and heavier duty. The reason I moved and was very happy too, I was getting, tennis elbow and carpal tunnel from lifting the camera up
weddings.
So just up and down. I mean, think about it. You've got a camera that weighs, 7, 8, 9 pounds, maybe more, and you're lifting it up and down 5, 6, 7. You're holding up over your head. You can really strain some stuff.
Sure.
So the Micro Four Thirds, chip, which is a little bit smaller, allows them to build smaller lenses, and so.
Well, point well taken. I mean, even if it only weighed a few pounds, that repetitive motion is going to get to you eventually.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk some art. How's that?
Art. I like it.
Get to throw the man a bone. Art. That's Bob Coates, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Tabak here again with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. Time to talk about art. He's a lens-based art photographer.
Lens-based artist. Good job. Yeah, I'm impressed. And actually, it was kind of cool. I went to my dentist the other day. I sat down in the chair, and while he's got, tools in my mouth, he says, so what does this lens-based art thing mean? Does that mean you use a computer, you don't use a computer or that? And I'm like,
Jade, dentists they only want to talk to you when they have their hands in your mouth.
I'm like, take a tool out, I can tell you. Basically, lens-based artist means I'm gathering all my raw source material through a camera lens.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, obviously I do, good solid still photography, but my reason to tear these days is to move on and take it to a next level, to create it to be more of a painterly piece, to be more art-based, so that people look at it and say, that looks like a painting.
Right, right.
And when I hear that, that means that I'm, moving in the direction that I'd like to move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we accomplish that through using multiple images and layered. Photoshop is my main tool, but there's a few other programs, plugins that I use that kind of help me out. But basically, I'll take anywhere from, 2 to 20 images and process them together and change blend modes and mask things out. And it's an incredible fun thing, because when I first started studying art, I could never get what was in my head out onto the paper.
Right.
And I would be tearing things up. My art teacher's going, what are you doing? That's perfect. Nope, it's not what I was trying to show.
Right, right. So. You failed in your own mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used a great description, because I've seen this where I've seen other people do it too. You're looking at a photographed image and you're asking yourself, or you're saying it out loud, Is this a photograph or is it a painting?
Right.
And that's what you want to achieve.
Yeah, I'm looking to take things to a to a next level.
Yeah.
The cameras are getting so good that making a decent exposure, the camera processing and the interior things, they have a setting on almost all the Lumix cameras that's called Intelligent Auto, and it sets the aperture, the shutter speed, and the ISO, and it will also look at the scene and say, I see clouds and mountains in the back there. I'm going to set this for landscape style.
Mm.
So it kind of sees what the camera's seeing, and if its algorithms match up, it says, I got it.
Yeah.
And so it sets you with it, it gets you pretty close.
So artificial intelligence has taken photography to an entirely different level than it even just was maybe 30, 35 years ago.
Than 10 years ago.
Yeah, so it's moving that fast.
You remember Moore's Law, technology will double down upon itself every year and a half.
Right.
It's now like 3 months.
Yeah.
Technology is doubling down upon itself because it gets better and gets faster and gets easier. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
When I first went to work with Panasonic, I thought that, their tagline, which is changing photography, was pretty darn pretentious. And now that I've been working with them for a while, I'm like, damn, they are changing photography.
Yeah. Does this technology, you know, all these things that you need to learn or know, does this make it easier or harder to be an individual? You know, because I could imagine 100 different people pick up the same camera, take a shot of the same thing, and you might get 100 of the same pictures. But the individual person can make those changes.
Right.
But you have so much technology at your fingertips. Do artistic photographers get lazy now and just push a button and go?
No, you still need to see the light, which is the main thing. And this is one of my grand experiences. Whenever I'm traveling on the road, people say, "Oh, you're from Sedona. What a great place to be a photographer."
Right.
No, any place is a great place to be a photographer, because if you're a true photographer, you are photographing the light, not necessarily the subject.
Yeah.
You know, you can have an absolutely gorgeous subject like Cathedral Rock, or, you know, just something that's, you know, like yourself. Just absolutely beautiful.
You put me in the dark all the time when you photograph me.
That's because I'm a master of light. But you can have this absolutely beautiful.
Bob says I have no best side.
You can have an absolutely beautiful subject, but if the light on it is no good, I've seen some terrible photos of Cathedral Rock.
Yeah.
But I've also seen some magnificent black and white photos of a green pepper. That's just because it, you know, the shape and form, as you look at it, just has so much depth and dimension.
Yeah.
And it's the light that's being photographed on the subject, not necessarily the subject itself, that makes for a great photograph.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, with the ability to, you know, snap a snapshot with your phone now, you know, which everybody can do, and they put out some pretty good high resolution pictures, especially if you know what you're doing. Do you find that more and more lay people are more and more interested in getting a good photographic image versus, you know, versus the old, Kodak snapshot, you know, from the old days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot more. I mean, there's some people who are making some absolutely spectacular images with phones and smaller cameras. Again, knowing how to use the tool that you have is really important.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking here normally, I'm talking about high-end professional cameras, but Panasonic makes a really nice line of consumer cameras that are in that $300 to $500 range that can zoom from 25 millimeter to 600 millimeter and, you know, have the intelligent auto settings in there and stuff. So, you know, I'm actually amazed that they can make so many different cameras and so many different lines and still make any money. And obviously there's still a lot of people buying cameras.
Yeah.
With good reason, because things are changing so fast.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Photoshop earlier. Is there a danger in photographers being a little lazy in terms of the first shot? They take the initial shot thinking, well, I'll just get the image and then I can spruce
I'll
it up
fix
in Photoshop.
It in Photoshop. Yeah. That happened a lot for a lot of people, and that's really bad. A friend of mine who's been in the industry for many years has an expression for that. He says, basically, you can't polish a turd.
Well,
oh, wait. This is family radio.
That's worked for years, a long time. In fact, I want to look that up. I want to know where that came from
because I have no idea.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, basically, the better the image you start with, that's, you know, for me, I'm always starting with the best image I can. Now, that said, for example, when I travel, I can't choose my time. I can't wait and come back early in the morning or late at night. I can't, you know, I have to get the image that I can get.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will create the lighting and create new artistic things within from that base image.
Gotcha.
But again, that's the lens-based artist stuff.
Yeah. Gotcha. I understand. Okay. Let's take one more break. And when we do come back, folks, to wrap things up, we'll make sure you get contact information for Bob Coates and Bob Coates Photography. Welcome back, folks, as we're wrapping things up. Bob, any further thoughts on what we discussed?
If you want to see my artwork, I'm at the Sedona Artist Market over in the Harkins Theater on 89A and also at the Gallery of Modern Masters in Hillside down on the lower level there next to Ratliff Gallery.
All right, all right. And how do folks get a hold of you for whatever reason they might have, you know, whether they want to learn something or you know, book you for an appointment or whatever?
Email bob@bcphotography.com. Website for seeing my commercial work, bcphotography.com.
You've been listening to KAZM's Tech Talk, a discussion program Wednesdays following the noon news with local experts. Tune in again next week for updated information about computers, cell phones, electronic devices, everything technical. That's why we call it Tech Talk, right here on 780 KAZM.